Welcome. Thank you for coming. I'm a software engineer at Mimacom, and I'm based right now out of Denver, Colorado, but originally I'm from Germany, so I relocated last year. We have two offices in the United States, and most of the time I'm dealing with architecture or business process management. Besides that, I'm also doing some Apache Kafka, most of the time with Spring Boot applications. Those Spring Boot applications need some kind of an architecture, and therefore I learned in Switzerland actually a cool architecture pattern, which is the onion architecture. So you can represent your architecture itself as an onion. So in the middle you have a core, there's all your domain business and everything which is domain specific going on. Around that it's getting a little bit more technical. There you have the API, there you can control permissions and so on. So those are the parts which are not readable, for example, by business analysts. They are more technical. Then you have always some kind of infrastructure you would like to deal with. For example, Apache Kafka and everything else you would like to integrate with. And since I'm doing most of the time enterprise web applications, there's also a web layer around it, which is then the last layer. And each layer only accesses the layer inside, and nobody at the end actually accesses the infrastructure layer, since that layer is implementing only interfaces out of your core layer. So this layer is easily exchangeable, and together with the domain-driven design, you can easily adapt your application. Besides that, I would say technical separation, there's also a separation for your context boundaries. So you can see over here different types of mountains or also the ocean, and you can separate those in different contexts. Those are not always clear, so sometimes you have the case you do not really know, is that now a different context or not, so they might also change when you are developing your application over time. At some point we need to define what our context is, and then we should always stay within our context for parts of the application. So that is an example over here. Are the clouds on the left side really a different context, or are they just part of the sky? So in that real world example, it's not clear. Also for the software engineering, it's not always clear. But today I would not like to talk that much about onion architecture and how you can structure your application. What is when we do not even know where our journey goes? So maybe we would like to have in the future some information which we do not have right now. So we have had some kind of events in our lifetime of the application, and we will later on try to figure out which events we have had. And therefore I'm planning to do some live coding, so let's start the fun part, but I don't have money, so we are going to code. And I'm going to build a Spring Boot application which is going ahead, and first of all it's about pizza order management, so we can submit an order and later on we can continue depending on how it goes with the time. Start the topping from our pizza, then start baking the pizza, and at the end we can serve our pizza. So it's about the status of an order inside our order management system, and everything of that we are going to build with Spring Boot and Apache Kafka. Therefore I already went ahead and went to start.spring.io. There we are building our pizza app, and we need two starters from Spring Boot, so they are providing starters which are giving us the possibility to easily build an application without that much configuration, as you might be used from earlier Spring versions. So let's create a project as a Java project with the latest Spring version. Then we have specified a group and artifact ID over here, and we would like to have those two modules. And now I can go ahead and extract this application and open it. This application is then now going in the background and importing all our dependencies that we have a runnable application, and that is the perfect live demo effect. IntelliJ was running before, so let's hope that it is working this time. I have had never this IntelliJ error, so let's try to start it normally and then import it afterwards. Import project. Okay, that's a longer dialog, but let's hope that at least this dialog is working. There we are. I hope you can read the font size. So we have here now our basic project structure with source, and there we have our Java package where we have our basic application. We have some resources, and that I can directly rename to a YAML file since I prefer YAML over property files, and then we have a test over here. Is the font size okay?
Yes.
So over here we can go ahead and say we would like to build a Kafka test, and since we only have limited time and it's most of the time faster when we are starting test driven, then we can easily verify if our application is working. I'm going to write an integration test which is starting up in the background Kafka, so therefore I have an embedded Kafka. I can also specify over here that I would like to have one topic called orders. Now, since we have on our class path the Spring Kafka test dependency, that is going ahead and providing us an embedded Kafka broker. And this embedded Kafka broker gives us all information about our Kafka instance. In the setup method, I can now go ahead and create a consumer. So a Kafka consumer based on our embedded Kafka broker. Therefore, I need to provide our configuration, then a key serializer and a values, a key deserializer and a value deserializer. For the configuration itself, I can use the Kafka test utils, and they are providing us the consumer properties. I only need to specify over here in which group we are, so that is our specific Kafka group. Those are our properties. We can just say that is our test group. Then we need to specify if we would like to have auto-commit. I'm just going ahead and disabling that, and as last parameter we can provide our embedded Kafka broker. So we have now the properties over here, and for the beginning I'm going just with a string deserializer for the key and also for the value. Maybe I add a line break over here. So we have now, when we create our consumer, consumer available, so let's say we have our consumer over here. For the consumer, I can now subscribe to a specific topic. I'm just going ahead and calling that one orders and creating a field out of it. And that didn't went well. So let's place that one over here and say it's public static final orders. Or actually, topics would be better. And I can also reuse that one over here. Topic. So now we have our subscription. Therefore, we also need to specify actually a list, since we can subscribe to a list. To ensure now that we are subscribed, we need to just poll for new messages. We could also say that we are always listening from the beginning. But otherwise, it might be that our producer is sending before our consumer is actually listening. The interesting part, which I not completely figured out, when you would like to have the not deprecated version here, it's duration, but duration.0 is not waiting until the subscription is completely done, then you can get stuck. When you are doing duration around 100 milliseconds, it's working, but that doesn't seem to be right for me, just waiting a random amount of time. With the old version, which is actually using in the background different implementation, so that one does not include the metadata in the timeout, and with that one it's working. When we are going for the one which is taking the duration, then it is including the metadata in the timeout, and it's not working anymore. We also need to go ahead and say at the end we would like to close our consumer, and with that our consumer is done, and we can now write a simple test where we are going ahead in the arrange part, in the act part we are producing a message, and in the assert part we can then go ahead and say we would like to read a message. Therefore we can use the Kafka test utils again. There's a getting a record method where we can provide our consumer and our topic. And this one is then directly returning us a consumer record, and we can go ahead and say the consumer record should be not null. Assert that, please. And well, that's the correct one. And we could say, in addition to that, the consumer record key should be, for example, hello, and the value world. And right now it would fail since we are never sending a message, but I'm going to execute it anyway. It fails now on the is not null since we are waiting after the timeout, and at this point we then have not a result and we are failing. In the meantime I'm going ahead and writing a default Kafka producer factory. Here we can do the same using the Kafka test utils to get the producer information, that we only need to have our broker, that is enough to specify, and we need a string serializer and another string serializer for our two values, and at the end I also need to do a create producer, and I can write it to a variable, then I have my producer available. I can now say over here I would like to produce a send, new producer record. And actually that one is going into the timeout right now, so it's executing really long since we never send a message. That is a little bit annoying with that approach, since when the message is not coming, then you are waiting forever that the tests are failing. You could also specify over here what your specific timeout is, then it might be a little bit faster. The default there is pretty long. So we can say over here we have again a topic, we have a key, and we also have a value. And after that we can flush the message and then it should get sent. And in the best case the test with that, where we are sending hello and world, in the best case it's now executing successfully. Fingers crossed. The fact that it was running before forever makes me a little bit nervous. And it already takes too long. There we are. So that test passed now, since we are sending hello world and we are receiving hello world. Now, since we have now a test, we can also start to write our real application. I'm structuring my application always in those core API and infrastructure modules, and below that I split the bounded context. So I have, for example, core order, and inside this one I'm going ahead and creating an order class. For this order we now would like to have an order ID, which is a value object, just that you always know when you have an order ID that it is really an order ID. It contains not more than just a value. We are going ahead and creating two constructors, one without parameter. That is always useful for using, for example, Jackson, but you can also use it over here to just make the life easier and provide a default, which is generating a new one. Then we can generate a setter. We can also generate equals and hashcode methods. And at the end, in case we would like to read it, toString method. Besides that, we would like to have a name for the person who is ordering something, and we would like to have some condiments. I'm just giving them here an ID, so a condiments ID. When we are referencing an ID here, we would separate that to another bounded context. And one last thing would be an order status that we can also change something over time. So let's create an enum for that. First one would be, for example, submitted. Then we have topping, and then we have baking. And last but not least, finished. And we also need to create our condiment ID. That I'm now going to place in a different package, the package condiment, since it's separated. And it has the same structure than before, so two constructors. This one is just creating a new one. Then we have getter, since we are later on going ahead and compare it. We have an equals and a hashcode method, and a toString method. Now we have our, that's not what I wanted. We have now our properties available. I already created a constructor without parameter. I'm going ahead and create a new constructor with all parameters, some getters, and since we would like to change it over the time, I'm also introducing a builder, private static class builder, and let's just generate that builder based on this constructor. So we would like to have all parameters, and here it's that order over here, dot builder. Now we can make this one private, and we have over here a nice little builder with all our parameters, except that I prefer to call that build. And we can go ahead in our test and say, in addition to manually sending an event, we are now going ahead and creating a new order with a new order ID. Maybe also a name, order for Paul, and some condiments, list, and I'm just creating a new ID since we have nothing in our system. So let's extract the condiments and the order. In our builder we can also go ahead and just default our status so that we not manually need to set that one. So submitted, and what happened now is just that we would create this object and we would have our order available, but we would like to have events in advance. So let's go ahead inside our core and create a new interface domain event, which is basically the base part for all our domain events which we would like to store. Then we have for each one an ID, which we are later on going ahead and using as our key. And since I would like to use those domain events later on as well to build the order object again, I'm going ahead and writing a generic apply method, which is just taking an object, converting it, and giving it back. You will see as soon as I'm implementing that one how it is going to work. Then we have an order domain event, which is specific for our orders, that implements the domain event. And we are providing the order builder here as attribute. We are going ahead and implementing the getID method, since we would like to store always for our order domains event, domain events, the order ID. And I actually forgot over here to say, since we are later on using Jackson, that we would like to ignore this getID. So that one should not be in our Jackson output. And we also would like to have type info that we know which of our specific subclasses we need to convert it to. And therefore we are using the type info class, so that it is writing in addition to our specific content class attribute to our JSON, which contains which object we have. And with that, we have now here the getID, where we can say order ID get value. We can also generate a normal getter for our order ID and some constructors, so one without, which is later on used when we are using Jackson again, and one with the order ID. We can make both package private or protected, since we are going to make this one abstract. And then we have specific ones which are implementing this order domain event. There we can create a new domain event, order created domain event, which is the first domain event which we are using as soon as we created our order. That one is extending our order domain event, so we need to implement first of all our method from our interface, which we haven't implemented yet, and second we need to go ahead and create some constructors, two actually, one again for Jackson, which we can now make private, and one with our order ID. And I actually forgot to add here some more information, so let's do that first. We would like to have order ID we already have, so next one is name. Then we also need a list of our condiments. And those we can now store inside our event. So there we have a copy over here, which just contains the ID. And now we have a constructor, which is the wrong one. It should be this one with all those attributes. Why is it not doing that? Okay, with the order ID. Ah, there it is already. Okay, with our order ID as first parameter, then we have the name, and we have all our condiments. So that is the domain event we are sending as soon as we are creating a new order. Therefore, we can go back to our order and say here in the builder, as soon as we build that, we would also like to send the domain event that this order is there. So here we can now say we have a new order created domain event with our order ID, our name, and our condiments. But we still need to publish it, since right now we just created a class. Therefore, we are missing some kind of an infrastructure to publish our domain events. We can create a new domain event publisher, which I will directly implement for Spring here. Normally, you would go ahead and implement it as an interface, just that you are later on able to mock it easily or replace it with another implementation. Spring provides us the application event publisher, which we can use to basically publish a domain event. So we can just say over here application domain event publisher, publish event, domain event, and then it is published as a Spring domain event. Therefore, we can make that one a component that it is directly created, and we can add a constructor here. So now it will be automatically auto-wired as soon as we are creating this bean. Next thing is, since we have our domain event in the order where we do not have the Spring context, we need to make that some kind of static accessible. Therefore, we can go ahead and say we have a domain event publisher registry, which holds at the end only an instance of our a static instance of our domain event publisher. Let's call it instance, and we can just create setters and getters over here that we can externally set those. To set those, we can go to our Spring Boot application, which is providing us the basis of our application, and auto-wire over here our domain event publisher. And then we can go ahead in a post construct, since when this post construct over here is called, we also have the domain event publisher available. We can say we would like to set the domain event publisher. Therefore, we are going ahead and using the registry, setting our instance to the domain event publisher. Now, as soon as our application is started, we have inside our domain event publisher, inside our domain event publisher registry, an instance available over here. Just to be sure, we could say that the instance should not be null when we are calling that. No domain event publisher was provided. And in our order, we can now go ahead and say we have the domain event publisher registry. There we are getting an instance. On this instance, we are calling publish with our new domain event. Now we are sending our domain event. When we are executing that, nothing will change, since we are right now we are not going ahead and persisting those domain events to Kafka. That would be the next step. Therefore, we can go ahead and write a small implementation which will use the Kafka template to write them to our Kafka installation. So we have then an infrastructure module for Kafka. Inside this infrastructure module, we have a Kafka domain event listener, which is basically listening for domain events and persisting them to Kafka. It's again a Spring component, just that we have auto-wiring. Therefore, we can use here the Kafka template, which is directly configured by Spring Boot as soon as we are saying over here enable Kafka. So we need to do that as well. So we have a Kafka template now. Then we can go ahead and using an object mapper. When we're creating a constructor, we will have auto-wiring for those. And we can now say at event listener, which is listening for our application events, write domain events to Kafka. And this one is now going ahead and taking our domain event. And we can just go ahead and say this Kafka template.sendDefault. And we only need to provide here a key and data. So the key we are using as our organization ID, just to ensure that for those events it's sorted. Since Kafka only ensures us when we have more than one partition, that within a partition it is sorted. When we are using the same key for every instance of our organization or our organization events, then we are also ensuring that those are sorted. So basically over here we can say that is domain event.getID, and then we need to provide the value, where we are just using the object mapper for now and converting our domain event to a string. Let's call it event. We are not going to care about the exception right now. We are just going ahead and sending it. When I'm saying send default, then we also need to go ahead inside our application JAMA file and specify our Kafka default topic, which is orders for us now. Later on for our consumer, we also need a group ID. Since I'm going ahead and not writing the cache to an external system, what you should do at the end, I'm just writing it to the memory. I always would like to start from the beginning, so my auto offset reset will be earliest, and that I really have the earliest, I'm going ahead and creating a random group ID. So group random.uuid. With that, I ensure that I'm always reading all messages for my topic. So we have over here our send. So at the end, it should now go ahead and send those to our default topic. There's one thing what I need to configure now, that this Kafka template is also using my embedded Kafka service. I need to go ahead and say over here in the, and I'm doing that often, minimizing and maximizing it again. And then for my tests, I need to say that my Kafka brokers are the one from the embedded. Therefore, I can create another application jammer file. I'm just suffixing that one with test, that I am not overwriting the existing attributes, that I have auto-completion. I just need to run a Maven import. And here I can now say that my Kafka broker service, bootstrap service, exactly, at the end, my Spring embedded Kafka brokers. With that, I'm just ensuring that the bootstrap servers are set to the one which I used in the test. And in the test, I only need to say over here, I would like to have one more active profile, and that is the profile test. Then it uses both application jammer files and combine them. When I now run the test, I expect the test to fail, since the test is expecting exactly one message, but we have two right now. I just hope that this is the case, and I'm going ahead and removing my producer over here, which is sending our original message. And then we are just producing one domain event with that one over here, and all those producer stuff can go. Here I don't have the key hello anymore, I have the key order ID get value. That failed. I'm not sure if I would like to search on this small screen with that font size the error message, but basically it will tell us that the get single record failed because we have two records and it is expecting one. I'm now replace the key, but since the value is too complex to just evaluate here, I remove the value, and we are only comparing if the key is really my order ID, which I have specified here. Let's see if that runs. Now, when I, as a next step, perfect, it runs, would like to go ahead and read those messages from Kafka again, I can go ahead and build an order repository. And this order repository at the end will have multiple implementations. There's first the one which is consuming my Kafka records and writing them to, for example, a document store like Elasticsearch, and persisting them that I'm able to search in. The purpose of Kafka here is that I have all my events and I can later on reuse those events when I would like to change the application, but I also would like to have an access to the latest version fast without rebuilding out of my complete history the status of my orders. It works when I have only a few orders, and that is also the reason why I'm going ahead and doing that now. But at the end, you would go ahead and implement that order repository based on first Kafka and then a document store as well. So I'm writing here two simple methods. One, get by ID, where I'm providing the order ID, and then second one, which is just a find all. And this find all is just returning all of those orders. And I'm now going ahead and writing an implementation for them, again in the infrastructure Kafka package, so a Kafka order repository, which is going ahead and implementing my order repository. And in addition to that, it is also, I mean, it's a repository, so that Spring is aware of it, I need to annotate it. And it is then also using the Kafka listener to listen to the topics, and I can specify orders over here. And I can just say I'm consuming all, and since we have a string deserialized as well by default, it's just taking a string, and that is my event over here. And at the end, I would also like to have an object mapper to convert it back. And in addition to that, I'm also going ahead and creating my local cache for all my orders. So based on the order ID and the order builder. So I'm caching the builder, then it's easier to just add things to those, and I'm going ahead and build the real order as soon as I would like to have the real order. So I have now the list of my orders, which is actually a new hash map, and I'm going to inject my object mapper. Here I can now say that I'm using the object mapper to read the value from my event, and I'm taking the domain event over here. I'm writing that to the domain event, and I'm ignoring that exception here. And in case my domain event is not an instance of my order domain event, then I would like to do nothing, since we are here the order repository. And in all other cases, I can go ahead and cast it to an order domain event. And in that case, I can access now the order domain event. And on the order domain event, you might remember I wrote the apply method that we can provide a builder. The builder we can get from our orders list over here. So we can go orders.getOrDefault, and we are then getting by our order ID our builder. And in case we don't have a builder yet, we are going ahead and creating a new one, since then it's a new order anyway. And we have then our order builder. And this order builder we can apply. And the new result out of that, we are just going ahead and writing again back to our map as a cache. So just simplify that we have order IDs over here. So now we are building up our orders inside our map during the creation. And we can go ahead inside our get by ID and say we would like to have orders. Then we are getting the specific by order ID. Since that might not exist, in case it's null, we are going to return null as well. And in case it exists, we are going to build it. That would now create a new domain event, which we would like to avoid. So I'm going ahead and extracting our new order to a build without domain event, which we can use then outside from our repository. So build without domain event, and with that we are avoiding that this one is built. Similar pattern I will write later on for the find all. And we can now say in our test that in addition to our consumer, we are going ahead and using our order repository, but I still need an order repository over here. So let's get an order repository. We are using our order repository over here to get our order. Since we have the order ID, we can just get the order, and we can say this one should not be null, and the order get name should be, for example, Paul, and our order get condiments should contain exactly our, actually should be equal to, since I wrote down the map, our condiments. That is now checking if all of our order is basically correctly created later on inside the Kafka document store at the end, and then perfectly written to the database. Let's hope that this one is working, since then we can also build out a small REST application. So I'm going ahead and creating an application layer where we are transforming our order to something else. That one failed. Let's see why. So it is actually null, our order. So somewhere I did a mistake that our order is not coming back. Get on default. We have a Kafka event listener. Let's debug that fast if we are reaching that point where we are writing our order domain event to our orders. And we are listening for orders as well. That looks not bad. So we are also receiving our domain event. We see actually over here now what is, I'm not sure if you are able to read it, JSON, that inside our domain event we have right now the order ID and we have the order created domain event. And I'm actually figured right now out what I was doing wrong. I have inside my order created domain event, I have here the apply method, which is just returning null. Here we are going ahead and taking our builder and setting the name for from our current order. We are setting the condiments. We are going to set the status as well, which we know since it's just created, it's submitted. And we also have the order ID, where we can use our get order ID. But that doesn't seem to be the only mistake, since we have nothing here except the order ID. So I assume in the order created domain event, I also forgot my getters. So let's create them really fast. And then let's hope that it is running now. Since at the end, we should have everything inside this specific list. Since I'm running out of time, let's go ahead and create the actually, I will skip the part with the REST application and just do something else to have one domain event more. Since we have now one existing order, we can go ahead and say when our order is changing, for example, we are starting to top it, then we can say over here, the test is now working, so that part was working. We have a method start topping, which is part of our domain, and that is the reason why we are directly modeling that over here. And then we can use our domain event publisher registry, getting our instance. Actually, we could also say our status here. Our order status is topping, and we can use our instance to publish a new domain event. There we need a order started topping domain event, which contains the order ID at the end. So let's create that one with the order ID as well. Here it implements now the domain event, since that is what the interface requires, but we would just like to extend the order domain event. And we can then call here our super method to set the order ID. And it would also like to implement the apply method, where we can here use our builder to say we are setting the status now when we have this event to topping. When I run that now again, we should have two domain events in case I'm doing the start topping. So I could go over here and say we are doing an order start topping. And that part I haven't tested in that combination, so let's see how that goes. And when I then use afterwards again the get record, this one I'm just using for the purpose that we are waiting for our domain event. When I would just go onto to the repository, that wouldn't be blocking. That's the reason why I'm just inserting that one again. And we can now go against our repository again, get it by ID, taking the order ID. And here we have the topping order. And for the topping order, we are expecting that our status is now in this case. I'm not able to read the numbers anyway, but that's 5 minutes. This is order status maybe a line break here, and then make my screen larger and learn to type status. That one is topping now. And in the best case, that is now topping over here, and I'm not sure, I do not even have over here an asset that the status over here is equal to order status submitted. Do you have questions since my test is still running? And it's failing. Let's see where. Okay, my assertions seem to be wrong. That's submitted and not topping. So the question is why that one is now not waiting for the second one. I mean, that at least means that the first one is working, and we could actually also have a look if our order started topping domain event is over here, since that one should execute as well, otherwise we are never setting the status. Going to abort that one and debug it. Questions? Then thank you very much, and hopefully the debugging will work on.